This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. General at your service. We're heading for the NFL news of the day. There's Brian Broaddus, NFL scout executive, number one influencer on Cowboys social media. Chris Strong's in for Lucius. You have Wolchuk and Shia following. Of course, Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Here is Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day, buddy. Take it away.
I gotcha. We do. We will be sprinkling some Rangers in. Don't you worry. We do have slowly but surely the opening day roster that is going to be unveiled. So we got Dave Raymond coming up at 5:20, around the bases at 6 o'clock. Michael Lorenzen, Jonathan Hernandez, according to CY, will start the season on the IL. Chris Young saying Lorenzen not quite there. They said he looks great, but it wouldn't be responsible to throw him right into a big league game. Jose Urania and Jared Walsh are on the opening day roster. So maybe Urania slides in, possibly could get a start depending on how everything's going with the other guys, or that could still just be Cody Bradford. Jacob Latz and Yeri Rodriguez have made the opening day roster, according to Chris Young as well. So we'll break that down more a little bit later. Let's slide into NFL news of the day. The big thing in the NFL that has happened within the last 30 minutes, free agent renegade linebacker slash defensive end Jadeveon Clowney has a new team. And I wonder how many teams he's up to now. Like, he's kind of going the Gerard Johnson route where he is just playing. He's a mercenary. He's playing for everybody.
It's a one-year guy.
He is, and he's cashing in. But this year, this one's a two-year deal. This is an interesting one. All right. He's going to Carolina. Two-year, $20 million deal worth up to $24 million. So, of course, he started his career with Houston. Since then, he's been with Baltimore last year. I think he was with Cleveland. I think he spent time in Seattle. Now he'll spend 2 years in Carolina. So, interesting move there for the Panthers, who are bringing in Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, they bring him back home. That's going to be something that I'm sure he appreciates. But that's a pretty nice little contract for him there. He's one of those guys. He's had one of the weirder careers. The expectations were so high for him. He's been a bit of a mercenary, and he's held out well into summers to just get these one-year sort of mercenary deals.
Yeah.
And they came correct with some cheddar on that one, so good for them.
They sure did.
Like, we don't need Brian Burns because we got Jadeveon Clowney.
Why would we, right? In fact, we don't even need a couple of first-round picks. We'll turn those down and then take, what, a third?
We want to get those 9 sacks from Clowney.
Yeah, it's true.
They know they're not going to get the 10th one.
But a hell of a run stopper.
Yeah, he's a disruptor, man.
Disruptive player, absolutely. Another disruptive player. This happened yesterday at the end of the show. I believe Eric did bring this up during the hodgepodge, but just in case you missed it, Tre'Davious White signed to a one-year deal worth up to $10 million by the Rams. And I remember when they won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and shout out to Connor Livesay, he brought this up as well. You know, it's like, oh, man, they're going to be in cap hell. They're selling everything to be all in, win a championship. Well, they've made three pretty good secondary additions this offseason. So, it's just interesting. You know, I know there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, Steven. We understand. But the rest of the NFL just seems to be playing chess while we play checkers over here in Dallas. I'm not sure I understand it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they had a couple of years where they weren't that great because they had guys leave for retirement, like the offensive linemen. Yeah. They couldn't keep, Beckham. They couldn't spend the money where Beckham was. And they were still half decent, you know. That's what the Cowboys are heading for now, you know. We just want them to go for it more when they are good. Yes. The problem is this is the first time the Cowboys have done this since 2013. You know, they stretched it out for 10 years and never truly went for it. Mm. So, to me, it's wasted draft picks. It's wasted Hall of Fame careers that could be champions. You absolutely could be hanging banners if we would just prioritize it.
Preach. Well, the Eagles did sign Saquon Barkley, and he was on New Heights, of course, the Kelce's Bros podcast. And, well, he immediately started doing some recruiting. Here was Barkley on with Jason and Travis.
I'm like a kid in a candy store. I'm happy. I got a fresh start. I can't wait to meet everybody and just go out there and play ball.
Dude, it's going to be so fun to watch. It's going to be so fun to be a part of. It's going to be great.
You don't got to watch it, you know.
Before you ask me to come back, I'm not going to come back. I'm not doing it. So don't ask. But I do got one piece of advice. Do not go down at the 1 yard line. You got to go down at the two.
Yeah.
Go down at the one.
It's curtains.
Yep. They didn't ban it.
A little extra motivation there. Just know, don't go down at the one. You got to find a way to get in the end zone. Obviously, you know Miles pretty well. I know how many touchdowns probably was taken away from Miles just watching his film. I'm just like, man, just got to strain a little more.
There was one time I remember being so happy when he got in the end zone. It was his last year in Philly.
Even you dreaded the play a little bit?
Dog, whenever the running back got down to the 1 yard line, whether it was him or D Swift or whoever, like, especially when, like, we ran the ball the entire drive, it's like, man, I would say I'm sorry in the huddle. I'm like, man, I'm sorry, right. Bro. Like,
I'm sorry that you didn't get the touchdown. It's Jalen Hurts is now, but it's true. I'm sure any Barkley fantasy owners out there are thinking the same thing. Make sure you score. You do not go down at the one, because that's a tush-push play, and I'm sure Jason Kelce very happy he doesn't have to be part of that anymore. He also is apparently going to be throwing out the first pitch, him and Fletcher Cox. They're going to be the ones to throw out the first pitch at the Phillies game on Saturday. So a couple of Eagles that retired this offseason getting that honor. I think the future of Jason Kelce could also get much brighter from a TV perspective. Eric will have that coming up during Football's Finest a little bit later. Now, the NFL, in regards to the Brazil game, we have talked about this, and we talked Mo Hurst of the Browns kind of let it slip that we're playing in Brazil this year. Mm. So I don't know if this is the NFL just trying to save face, like nothing's been decided, but they've narrowed it down to two teams that could play the Eagles on that Friday night, September 6th, opening game in Brazil. It's either going to be the Green Bay Packers or the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are one of the two finalists, but now they're throwing the Packers in there as well. Team president Mark Murphy saying that a decision has not been made yet or finalized by the NFL, but league execs indicated that the official opponent will be announced within a week. So when it ends up being the Browns, we'll just know that they knew this well ahead of time. But maybe they pivot and they just go to the Packers and say, Mo Hurst, you ruined this for us. We'll see.
Yeah, I think these teams now, I can't remember the list off the top of my head, but the NFL is now dividing these countries up as this is your, like, your fan base. You get to work. Oh, okay. Like they're doing it with the, you know, the German, you know,
yeah,
the Germany
and England and the other.
Everybody,
and Brazil.
Yeah, they're dividing the NFL teams up, and I wonder who has the Brazilian market down there. But it makes sense if you're going to push for, like, okay, this becomes your fan base that you can cultivate, then it makes sense to kind of put a game down there for those fans to kind of chew their teeth on.
Brian Daboll, head coach of the Giants, is looking into taking over the play calling duties for 2024. Of course, he was doing that, turned things over to Mike Kafka, whom I think we were all very high on, was with Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Yeah.
But now Daboll looking at maybe taking the reins back over. To me, I think that's just an indication of he knows he's on the hot seat, and it's like like we talked about with Mike.
Mike McCarthy.
Right? I'm going to go down my way.
Right.
Like, if this is my last year, at least give me the play calling so I know things are going my way.
Yeah, that's a shame because, I mean, I remember Andy Reid talking to him about Mike Kafka, and he really didn't want Mike to leave. I mean, he was like, you know, he was hoping, you know, that
the enemy would get a job.
And I mean, I don't mean that in a mean way. Like, gosh, I wish he'd just damn leave. He was hoping that Eric would get a head coaching job, and then he could elevate Mike. Mike couldn't wait. I mean, he took the opportunity. And sometimes it's bad when you jump like that.
Yeah,
Mike probably should just stay. We all know he probably should have just stayed and did what he was supposed to do.
Well, an interesting statement from 49ers CEO Jed York, who is ready and bracing for the Brock Purdy eventual massive pay raise. He said, quote, "It's a good problem. when your quarterback is one of the highest paid guys on your team and in the league, according to the NFL annual league meetings. Bay Area News Group, who is out there covering him, said it's what the market is.
Bye-bye, Niners.
Brock is going to ask for something that no one has ever asked for before. I don't know how many players are making over $40 million as a quarterback right now, but York seems content and fine with it. So exactly, the 49ers are the team that hasn't had to pay their quarterback. Now that's going to happen. When it does, is this the end of the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, as long as they, you know, can go keeping the number low. Maybe, you know, this year and then one more year before the contract really starts to kick in, depending on how they manage it. But, yeah, I mean, it just doesn't happen. It's objective reality. You know, it's one of my biggest problems with what's going on with the Dak situation is we're just in denial, right? Because we like the guy. He's a top 10 quarterback, so you got to pay him, right? Well, the answer is no. Because nobody that's not a Hall of Famer really, you know, does it other than players on a massive discount compared to the market top. And if you're anywhere near the market top, actually, even if you're a Hall of Famer, you don't win it those years. You know, it's you know, it's very, very difficult. But all these teams falling for the idea that we got to keep this guy because he's a top 10 quarterback are ending their chances of it. You know, they're on this roll doing it with different quarterbacks because a lot of them are underpaid. And the gift that it gives you being able to build out the rest of your roster is way, way bigger than the assurance that you have a guy that can be, you know, top 10 statistically.
Sure.
You know, that's just, it's objective reality. It's a fact. You're not winning it with Dak, just like you're not winning it with Phil Rivers or Matt Ryan if you insist on, well, he's one of the best, so I got to keep him. No, you don't. You're just ending your team's chances of winning the Super Bowl. And it's pathetic because all teams are basically pulling a Cowboys one on this, where they know their fan base is going to buy in, sell season tickets, and watch like crazy under the idea that we have a guy at quarterback who puts up big numbers, is kind of in the MVP conversation, and we just won 10 or 11 games. That's the drug that fans are hooked to, but the needle is the franchise quarterback. You can't get it in your bloodstream any other way. And that is where the owners kind of have us in checkmate when they're doing this bullcrap, dude. Because if you're not carefully managing the cap and paying attention to historical fact and reality here, then you'll walk into this and stumble into this situation and bury your team for a half decade while you sit here with this guy who's kind of an MVP candidate. Drives me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not going to win a Super Bowl with him on the rookie contract, I find it hard to believe that you're going to win one with him as one of the higher paid players. As Dawson mentioned, you can structure the contract to where you can still, the first couple of years maybe of that deal, still be able to maneuver things. And I think the way they team build and how good of a coach they have, they will definitely be contenders, but it'll be made much more difficult
once he's
getting paid. And I feel like Kyle Shanahan is the
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
perfect coach to be like, and especially a guy who swings a big stick in there when it comes to the team building. Yeah. Like you've mentioned, like John Lynch, GM, Kyle Shanahan, head coach slash GM.
Yeah, he's a GM.
So like you would think he would be the guy that would be one of the first to step up and be like, hey, we don't have to do this. Remember what Brock Purdy was. I got him as the last pick in the draft, and we got to hear with him. Like, I don't need to give him all the money. I can go find another guy on the cheap, whatever. So if they do that, then, man.
Be interesting to see how that plays out. But it seems as though they're prepping to pay Brock Purdy.
Nice.
Final thing here, NFL News of the Day. I love this from Jim Harbaugh, and it's a big reason why I went Graham Barton over Laiatu in that situation. To me,
UCLA edge.
You always take the offensive lineman if it's close. Here's Jim Harbaugh on why teams draft linemen before your skills guys.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I ask you the question of like what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back, we don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive? And, you know, the field position, you're right. You know, it's like, so yeah, that, building that, you know, kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that.
It's true. I mean, the offensive line is the engine that makes everything go. You're not worried about what a wide receiver is doing. I'm blocking for my quarterback. He should have success. I'm blocking for my running back. They should have success. Yeah. Make sure your offensive line is good. You're going to have a good football team. And now people are wondering, okay, well, who's the offensive lineman the Chargers will be taking with their pick? Although they are desperate need of a wide receiver, but maybe they do go offensive line.
That was your best chance to win it. When your offensive line was dominant in 2016, you still had Ron Leary. You still had Doug Free. And guess what? The defense was really mediocre. It was really below average, but you were maybe just a couple of plays from getting to the NFC title game. I totally agree. I think if you want to win in today's game, you must be able to be diverse on offense. And the Cowboys have sort of decided we got to build a defense. We have to look at these position groups. And the further they've gotten from their offensive line, the less of a threat they've become in the playoffs. Now they're getting beat at home against wild card teams. And I think you look at the lack of diversity their offense has when you get a tough matchup on defense as the reason. I mean, heck, they used to be able to stack the box against Zeke and he could still get you 5 yards. You know, it was so impressive what those guys could do together in their prime. But as they showed, if you don't continue to invest in it, it'll get old and deteriorate. And now I think we're looking at, before too long, a complete turnover of that group. And it was great, man. And they did. That was the identity of this team. A dominant offensive line. And 2016, man, if you look back on it, that's still Dak's best total QBR year. Even though he's become a much better player, his best total QBR year was that 2016 season. Okay, we got to run, G-Bag Nation. Thanks for making us part of your day. When we return, are the Mavs the Nuggets' biggest contender now? We'll open up a rim session here. Big giveaway coming up in the 4 o'clock with your Rangers-Astros tickets here on 105.3 The Fan.
It's always a special occasion when the Mavericks dominate the Kings in an effort to play themselves out of the play-in. The 6th seed Dallas Mavericks, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Congratulations,
let's
folks.
Let's go, boys!
Luka first half, Kyrie third quarter, defense all over the place, raining threes. Welcome back, THJ. Can't even say welcome back, like just welcome, period. Never seen this version of you, dude. You're passing the basketball.
Please stick around for a while.
That has to be his career high in assists. Can anybody do a little research project for me?
Ooh, I can do that. Yeah.
I think he had 5 or 6 of those bad boys.
Yeah,
one of them was like a Pistol Pete behind the head situation. I was like, oh my gosh, did he just do this?
I mean, his game no longer warranted that level of aggression. So he made an adjustment, possibly. I mean, can we get an official a statement on this from the player, from some coaches, an insider?
Yeah.
Because it would be exciting. I think he still has a decent skill set, but he needs to be that veteran now.
All right, I got the answer for you. He's done it four times. How many assists do you think it is? It is under 10.
Six, seven?
I'll say eight.
It is eight.
Yeah.
Four Son times with eight assists for THJ is his career high.
The last time was when? YMCA?
Yeah. Yeah, it was when he was playing AAU.
They thought when he was with New York that he was going to be the next big thing. So they turned the keys over to him for a couple of years and let him create. And I guess he stumbled into multiple turnovers when he got triple teamed and, you know, didn't know what to do.
Well, hey, Tim Legler, great basketball brain at ESPN. Is this the best Mavs team Luka's ever been a part of?
Which of those teams do you like the best? Luka's team, KD, LeBron, Steph?
Definitely Dallas. I think Dallas has a legitimate shot to make a run at the Western Conference Finals. If they can avoid Denver's side of the bracket, this is the best team that Luka Doncic has had. Think about what I'm saying. He's already been to the conference finals.
Yeah.
And I know they had Jalen Brunson on that team, but Jalen Brunson is not the same Jalen Brunson that's playing for the Knicks right now. At that time, this is his best team. The way he's meshing with Kyrie, critical. They have been sensational, and they seem like they absolutely have figured out this ebb and flow between them. More importantly, it's the guys around them, the athletes in the middle that finish everything at the rim to put pressure on teams so you can't just load up on Luka. They've got more than enough shooting on the perimeter. And they're playing their best basketball right now, Greeny, at the most important time of the year.
Well, man, look at that, dude. He's got more confidence in this Mavericks basketball team than he does in LeBron's, Kevin Durant's, and Steph Curry's. And I think he's 100% right about it.
I think so, too.
He's got no dog in this fight. He's just being honest. And what did you say when Brian Windhorst on his podcast was talking about the Mavericks and how they've – people are a little bit nervous.
Yeah, he said execs around the league that they talked to when they've either played the Mavs or have watched the Mavs said that they're very scary. Like, the Mavs are very dangerous.
Yeah, they're a frisky bunch, man. And the three ball got going again. That was a question, like, after the last – there's been a stretch here where the three balls were not falling. And if P.J. Washington can become respectable from that corner three, which he gets the opportunities. And it's just Luka. Like, when you look at the three-point percentage, it's just open looks because Luka drawing some double teams last night and passing out of it. But he creates so much space for these dudes, and you got to have these guys knocking them down. And if the Mavericks play consistently where their three ball is in that, I know Baskey said like 40%, and last night it was well over 50%. It was ridiculous. You're not going to get that, but if you can get consistent 3-point shooting from this team, I think that is the real thing that is going to make them extremely difficult to stop.
I'm
at this
with
point.
You because now you're playing defense and you've got a paint presence with Gafford and Lively, one of the best big duos in all of the NBA. Now you can score in the paint. And really, maybe we should credit this to Tim Legler, because after that Sixers game, when they, I think we were all like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work. Maybe this was just a little bit of a hype machine, and they're hitting a big thud. They've gone 9-2. Legler calls them out for playing poor defense. Their defensive rating is fifth best in the NBA during that entire span. So that's incredible.
Yeah. My bad. The job that they're doing right now, convincing me that they're a contender, is on that level. You know, I'm flirting with the idea of, you know, them having a chance of beating Denver. Like, the convincing has been so thorough. They have the ability, they have the focus, they have the emotional temperament now. Luka's growing up as he hits, you know, closer to 25 years old. And then, you know, the focus is there. I think you got to look at the coaches. But, you know, this is the perfect time of year to be peaking. They figured it out. You know, they can score in the paint. They're not getting out-rebounded. All of this is happening with their three ball not falling. And if it continues to go like it did last night, you see how that energy does transfer to the defensive end.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, they're celebrating stops like they're huge alley-oop plays that brought the house down. That's when you know they've all bought in and they're playing for each other. And, you know, this thing can become the chemistry is so high that these guys start, you know, playing for each other and then believing that it's possible.
Yeah.
This is just the spark of it. And the fact that we're 10 games from the playoffs starting, it has the ability to carry this enthusiasm and a wave into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, when these teams first figure out, oh my gosh, we're really good, there isn't the expectation, there isn't the pressure of it, they can do really special stuff in an opportunity like this. And they have more experience than OKC, than Minnesota. You know, they're much more connected as a group than the Clippers. Denver's the only group. I absolutely agree with Legler. Denver's the only group you're like, okay, I'll probably pick the Nuggets. Everybody else, I'm picking Mavs.
You mentioned Oklahoma City, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, very likely to be the MVP this season. He is, according to Shams Charania, the next star in line to get a signature shoe deal. Current deal with Converse expires this September. So be on the lookout for the Shai Nike or the Shai Adidas. Okay. I imagine those are perhaps Jordan brand, you know. Wants to get in the mix there if he wants to do the Luka Doncic thing. But either way, it looks like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what a great year it's been for him and that team. And if he goes MVP and then signature shoe deal, all That's of a sudden yeah. you're right there with one of the biggest names in all of basketball. The Lakers found a way to win last night without LeBron James. Austin Reeves hits the game-winning three and scores 16 of his 29 in the fourth quarter and overtime. So he also had 14 boards and 10 assists, two blocks, only one turnover. Austin Reeves was in his bag last night. Does it surprise you guys to find out that Anthony Davis, a.k.a. Anthony Day-to-Davis, the narrative surrounding his health and just always being questionable on the injury report, missing games left and right, 96 of his last 100 games.
Yeah. I think it was...
He's played the last 96 of 100 possible opportunities. That
played
blows my mind.
A ton of minutes last night.
Yeah, he played like 50-something minutes.
I was driving home Sunday after we did our BetQL show, and whatever show we had on CBS Sports was mentioning just how healthy Anthony Davis and available he's been, so he's trying to squash those narratives.
Yeah,
and he's killing it. He's back to playing like one of the best big men. I think if he can stay healthy and go, like the offensive game actually has a chance to... You know, get polished a little bit. His defense is, you know, second to none, I think, when you talk about big men when he's going. And, you know, it's just, it's so crazy they can't be a little bit better. Because LeBron still statistically looks like one of the top five players. You have Anthony Davis. You have a good cast. Like, I don't know, maybe the Lakers are about to take flight in the playoffs once again and surprise everybody.
Well, LeBron, we know he's got his new podcast with J.J. Redick, Mind Games, where they really go inside basketball and they are educating people. Here is a clip of him talking about earlier in the season, the comeback win the Lakers had versus the Clippers, and how he vetoed the Darvin Ham coaching strategy.
In the Clipper game, we had switching built in versus Kawhi and versus James and whatever the case may be, and I vetoed it in the second half because I know T. Lou more than any other player that's ever been with T. Lou, and I know he plays target ball too. And it got to a point where I knew in order for us to get back into the game, switching anybody else into Kawhi, it's not favorable for us. I might as well just get ready for the Wizards. So I vetoed it.
He wants to make that loud and clear. And of course you have that right. Head coach LeBron, GM LeBron. We know how it goes, dude. This won't be the first. This is definitely not the first veto I would imagine in his career. And definitely won't be the last. But I thought that was a fun little clip. And one of the quotes he has from this latest episode of the Mind Game podcast with J.J. Redick, he says he came home after a game recently and his wife was just asking him like how he feels physically, you know, being in the league for as many years as he's been in. He goes, my wife asked me how I'm feeling when I came home after a game the other night. And I said, babe, just imagine buying a 2003 Escalade and now it's 2024 and you never changed the tires. So rub my feet, please.
Butt crack?
No, that's real. No, that's basketball all the way.
That's hilarious.
It is hilarious. And I do imagine, man, his feet must look, ooh. I mean... like a Lionel Messi foot. What does that foot look like?
Mm. Yeah, wrinkly and bony and
purple toes. Yep. And
yeah, and all jagged.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I can't imagine how bad that is. And then I wanted to play this clip as well. Golden State Warriors and Miami Heat played last night. And the only reason why it's relevant is because I guess the Miami Heat broadcast, I think it's Eric Reed, their play-by-play voice. Listen to him just completely get basketball history wrong, recent NBA history involving the Warriors. It's Warriors Heat. This is Heat's play-by-play voice, and I think he short-circuited.
Andrew Wiggins, a guy who averaged 18 points and 9 rebounds a game in the 2022 NBA Finals, which they lost to the Celtics. 2 years ago, it was Boston in 6 to win it all. 1-point Heat lead with under a minute left.
They lost to the Celtics.
Yeah. He just...
That's the way I remember it.
He's like, yeah, of course, you know, Boston won, and then he doubles down with it. In fact, they won in six. Okay.
Yeah. Alternate facts. It's become quite a thing. You know, you have your own reality. I'm not here to hate on it.
It's your truth, man. Yes. Isn't that what they say? Yeah.
Your truth. Speak your truth.
Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Little afternoon rim sesh here for you. Never hurt you in the G-Bag Nation. A reminder, we do have a Rangers tickets giveaway coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. The Texas Lottery is the presenting sponsor on this and of the Silver Boot Series. And we're very excited about the Rangers season getting underway tomorrow. We're very excited about having a giveaway here coming up in the 4 o'clock hour to celebrate it and ring it in properly. What's this about some Jory Epstein audio? Well, Chuck, what do you have?
Yeah, Jory was speaking on a podcast about a week ago, and some of this audio started going viral. She's actually going to be on Sean and RJ tomorrow. But some interesting things, CeeDee Lamb's extension, Micah's reputation, and maybe a split on Dak Prescott. That's next.
Well, thank you very much, Chris, in for Lucius today. And the rest of the week, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Scott Draper, Big 12 Pro Day is coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to him about that event. And also in the 4, we have the big Rangers giveaway here, the 4-pack of Rangers Astros tickets. So stay tuned for that shot. Here's Wolchuk with some interesting Cowboys audio.
Yeah, so shout out to Jory Epstein, who does an excellent job of really covering the entire NFL now. Used to cover the Cowboys beat. She's now with Yahoo Sports. But she hopped on Matt Harmon's show on Yahoo Sports last week. But this audio really started circulating yesterday. And she talked about a variety of things, CeeDee Lamb, Micah, Dak Prescott. But we'll start with the top cut 4 here and work our way down. But on why the Cowboys feel they can weather Dak's cap hit this season.
Yeah, I think to me, you can't talk about what the Cowboys should do without Dak Prescott without considering a few factors. One, CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons contracts. And two, Mike McCarthy and the future of the head coach and sort of the structure that they're running. I think on the contract standpoint, $59 million as a cap hit seemed completely unrealistic, undoable until the salary cap came out. It was a $30 million bump from last year. And again, as one Cowboys person who I was talking to about this at the combine said to me, well, we thought it'd go up 15 or so. So it's really more of a $15 million bump than a $30 million bump relative to what I expected. But every exec across the league that I talked to projected a lower number for this cap than actually came in. And so if there is a year to take a $59 million cap hit and give yourself some flexibility, it's this year. I mean, think about it, because if not, okay, if it's 15 above what they want, that's what, 45, 44. I mean, it's not as crazy as it sounds, particularly when you still have some of your stars on rookie contracts.
Which would be a guy like CeeDee Lamb, right? He's currently on a rookie contract. Micah Parsons on a rookie contract. So that makes sense. I mean, it allowed the Cowboys to say, all right, let's go ahead and just wait and see if we want to on Dak. Now, if their indications, long-term plans are that they do want Dak around, then it makes no sense. You go ahead and you do that earlier because you're going to end up paying more the more you wait. But if they really are serious about, okay, this is an all-in approach to paying our own guys, but also let's see how the season unfolds and maybe we'll move on, that makes sense. But it brings up CeeDee Lamb. That's not a guy you should wait on. And why does Jory believe that they should prioritize extending that dude number 88?
I think what you run into is, what's the order of the contracts you want to get done? To me, like, you get CeeDee Lamb done this offseason. CeeDee Lamb was, he was number one in receptions last year in the league, top three in receiving yards and receiving touchdowns. He is reliable. He's a great locker room guy. He has been great with Dak. He's been great with quarterbacks in college. Like, he is someone who you need to lock up. And the only thing you gain by waiting is you're going to pay him more. And so yeah. I think that the Cowboys saw that last time, and they have a lot of deal inertia then. They had a lot of deal inertia now. I definitely think there's some frustration in the front office about some of that, of like, why aren't Jerry and Steven a little more adamant about getting things done? But to me, like, go get CeeDee done. You're just going to pay him more. You know you want him.
That's interesting. And they should pay him, because the longer they wait, they're going to get some of these other receivers that end up getting deals, and that price tag is just going to go up and up and up. Now, I can get it. Maybe CD's side. Like, right, it takes two to bargain. But CeeDee Lamb's the guy that you're going to want. You might as well go ahead and lock him up now.
Yes. I mean, and I imagine as long as the dollars are appropriate, CeeDee will be willing to sign. I'm sure there are some questions if you're CeeDee Lamb about what's the status of the quarterback situation moving forward here. So that could make you a little bit hesitant. But if the Cowboys are giving you the dollars that you want, then you probably don't really care about that. But I do wonder, like, if Dak's not, if you're going to let Dak walk next offseason, isn't the goal now, we got to find the quarterback. It doesn't matter how good our receiver is. Doesn't matter how good anything else is. Now it's find quarterback time. So I think if you know that Dak is walking out right now, then you start stacking up guys that, okay, who can we move here? Because now your timeline has changed. When you decide to move on from Dak, especially after a season where Dak's your quarterback, it's not like you're going to get done with this season. By and large, more than likely, you're probably going to be picking next year in the draft in the 20s. So sure. You're not in a prime position to get your quarterback. So it's not like you're just going to get the next quarterback in line. Boom, here he goes. Thank God he's got CeeDee Lamb to start his career off. It might be a full season with a question mark at quarterback. Is it Trey Lance? Is it some random? Who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, I still think you're going to want CeeDee Lamb as part of your plans, right?
Yeah, but I think nowadays, though, I'd have given anything to be in this situation. In the early 2000s, they're putting quarterbacks out there that you can actually win games with. Like in the early 2000s, we never got an opportunity. We never got a Baker Mayfield to come out, or never had an opportunity to trade for an Aaron Rodgers or any of that stuff. Everybody held their quarterbacks. Nobody wanted to get rid of them. And then ultimately you're looking at guys like we were, like down the line, way down the line, guys trying to convert baseball players, all kinds of things. I'm not making an excuse for that, but nowadays, you at least have a chance to go get a quarterback. It's not all about the draft. I mean, there's some quarterbacks that are on these 1 or 2 year deals and stuff that they're going to be up, and you could say, okay, well, look what the Falcons did. Everybody thought, well, the Falcons need a quarterback. Well, they got a quarterback that's just as comparable as the guy that we're talking about right now. Dak Prescott.
Yeah, all that's very fair. I mean, you could decide, hey, we're not going to completely.
You have a better chance of getting one today than you did 20 years ago. That's my saying. If you want to let this quarterback thing ride, and you want to say, okay, we'll get a bridge guy, you have a chance nowadays.
Yeah, if that's the approach you want to go, I mean,
well, you might not have a choice. You might not have a choice.
You might not. I still think no matter what.
They might say, you know what, we're going to move on from Dak. Yeah. And how are we going to work this?
You do have a choice. You don't have to go spend Baker Mayfield dollars on an average quarterback that you know is going to get you exactly where Dak Prescott just got you, which is probably to the playoffs, and that's it. Why would you do that? Why would you? Then you might as well just keep Dak. I mean, ultimately, if you're just going to go get a guy, like, the point is we're trying to go big picture upgrade here. The only way to do that ultimately is to be picking in the top five of the draft.
Okay, then that's it. But you're not going to be picking in the top five of the draft as the Dallas Cowboys. It's not going to happen.
Well, if Dak's not your quarterback and you don't do the Baker Mayfield here's Trey Lance.
You have the bridge quarterback then you don't win, and now you are picking in the top five. Right. Yeah. It's just a year removed. But you can go get a quarterback now if you want to be somewhat competitive.
With all that being
if you
said,
want to tank, go get the guy Tommy Cutlets or somebody like that. Yeah. If you don't want to be competitive.
No, 100%. I still would.
That's what I'm saying.
I still think CeeDee Lamb is part of your plans with whatever quarterback you'd like, unless you just don't think CeeDee's going to get better, which he has done every year.
No, it's not
but
that.
I would still just pay CeeDee now. That way that deal's done instead of waiting and seeing what Justin Jefferson gets. Now it's like, well, what if CeeDee says, I want more than that? Now we're in issues. Now we're paying a dude 30. Like, to me, I get what Jordy's saying. I think CeeDee Lamb's probably here. Go ahead and get that thing done.
Yeah, I just think that once you know Dak's no longer a part of your plans and now you have a giant question mark at the quarterback position, now everything about your franchise is finding that guy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Is CeeDee Lamb catching balls for you with random quarterback while your team sucks? Is that worth it? Or should you use CeeDee Lamb, the asset, to help you go get the quarterback that you want? So now I've got an asset. I got a first-round pick or whatever for CeeDee Lamb. Maybe Micah Parsons is in the mix here too.
Yeah.
Now I'm the team that has the arsenal to say I can move up and go get the quarterback that I want.
And if you want to trade him, hey, I get that. That's an interesting
So you're talking about a complete blow-up, don't sign the guy. I mean, that would be the option. If you're going to go away from Dak, you're not interested in signing CeeDee Lamb, and you're interested in probably trading Micah Parsons.
Correct.
Okay, let's get to Micah, though. And we got more Jory. We can come back to you later on or tomorrow even if we want. But here was Jory talking about Micah and his reputation across the league.
Mike is an interesting one because I think that I was talking to a defensive coach from another team about this. And I was just trying to understand because, like, on one hand, we see Micah's sack numbers. We see what he can do. But it's like, think about the biggest games that they had, the games against San Francisco, the playoff games. Mm-hmm. Like, what did Micah do in those games? And mm-hmm. I had one coach tell me, when the Cowboys are winning, Micah's a Hall of Fame player. When the Cowboys need him most, he's pretty average. And I was asking, I'm like, okay, well, if he's taking off some plays, like people say Chris Jones takes off plays, like I still think he's worth the money. I still think he's helped the Chiefs to Super Bowls. And this coach, I think, wisely told me, Chris Jones takes off some plays, but he makes them when they matter most. Yeah. Micah is not 100% on all plays, but he kind of makes them when they matter least. And I'm not saying least, but he's not making them when they matter most. So I would say, like, you have to decide.
That sounds like the whole Cowboys team. That sounds like the entire.
I know. When I told this to someone in the front office, they started naming some other people on that roster. And I think there's something like culturally.
Yeah, I think a lot has to be said for the style of offense that Green Bay and San Francisco both deployed. You know, if you're getting run against, Micah Parsons is not going to help you stop the run that much compared to what's going to happen if you can make them one-dimensional. And I think that's valid criticism, but I also think he's one of the top five most impactful players on defense in the league, you know? And if you want to win, you want Micah Parsons. If you want to, you know, go all in for your next Hall of Fame quarterback, you probably want to trade him, you know? To me, that's what I would do. I want to prioritize Super Bowl over everything else. And I don't think you can do it with the current quarterback. I want to get back in the draft a quarterback game. I don't think the organization sees the things the way that I do, though. And, you know, Micah Parsons can be part of a big winning plan. But if you can't stop the run, you're going to get your butt kicked in January. And it's not his fault. It's your linebackers, your defensive tackle, and the front office's fault.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that some of the best defensive players in the game, and Micah is one, but Aaron Donald, Super Bowl games on the line. You don't think Aaron Donald's getting double and triple teamed, and he's also the focus of every offense he's playing against. What did Aaron Donald do? He came up and made the play. That's what makes you a Hall of Famer and a great player. Micah, as much as we criticize Dak, Micah's gotten a pass. Micah hasn't stepped up in those big games either. I agree with everything she said, and it's not that coach. I know that Trayvon Diggs quoted and said pathetic coach. It's tough to find good things that are said about Micah Parsons in NFL circles right now.
Dang. Feeling the heat. Thank you, Woolchuck. That's a great piece of audio, and we look forward to maybe having a little bit more of that jewelry content coming up later on in the broadcast. As we head for the 4 o'clock hour, G-Bag Nation, hope you're having a good one. It is now just over 26 hours till the pregame for opening day. Scott Draper, Big 12 Pro Day, joins us to talk prospects from the conference coming up next year in the nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.